our Lake Superior agates are smaller often than what people are thinking. So I'd say just keep that setting the right expectations, right? They're out there. They're hard to find, but they're not fist size, right? Mm-hmm. 95 out of 100 agates found are the size of a marble or smaller. So you just got to keep that in mind.
Thank you, and welcome to A Fresh Air Inspired Life, featuring Copper Harbor from the inside in the power of kindness, connection, and community. Today's guest is a real go-getter. She probably doesn't know this, but I admire her hard work ethic, her determination, and her mad number skills. She's been coming to the harbor since she was a youngster. She is currently the clerk for Grant Township, owns the Keweenaw Agate Shop, and is even an accounting professor. Please welcome the upbeat Cheryl Okinicki. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Amanda.
So, Cheryl, if I remember correctly, your ancestors lived on Isle Royal?
Yes, my grandmother, Violet Miller.
Wow.
So that she was the Johnson family.
Okay.
And I think there was more than one Johnson family, but they were in Chippewa Harbor.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what kind of history do you remember about that, if
so,
any?
So I believe her father came over from Sweden, and he was a fisherman. And so I don't exactly know how they ended up, because it was between Duluth and here, right? Mm-hmm. And they would they were a fishing family, and they had a resort in Chippewa Harbor. And my grandmother was the oldest of six or seven kids.
Mm-hmm.
So she grew up there. And there's even the book, I don't know if you ever read it, The Diary of an Isle Royal School Teacher.
I have that book. I read it, yeah.
Ah, that was their family.
Oh,
yes,
cool.
That she stayed with them. So, yeah.
Wow. So for anyone listening, if you also have that book, A Diary of a School Teacher, that is Cheryl's grandma's people she stayed with, family.
It was the family. Yes, the Johnson family is who, I can't remember the teacher's name now.
Me either. We're so sorry, Isle Royal teachers.
Yes. But yeah, it was, so that's where she grew up. And then even that's how she met my grandfather, my mom's dad.
Okay.
She lived on the island, and Vi, the radio twins, they made a ham radio. Mm. And she met Hank Loama because he was bedridden from a mining accident.
Wow.
So he was up in the Keweenaw, and he was in his 20s, and he was pretty much bedridden at that point. And he had built a ham radio and started reaching out to people from his bed, because you didn't have to, he didn't have to look at their eyes pitying him, right?
Wow.
I mean, it was easier to do it behind the radio. And that's how he met her, was through the radio. And she recommended that he go and see the doctor for the mines, that they might be able to help him. And they did, actually.
Great.
And so he was able to get around a little bit better. And then they met and married, I think, maybe two years later.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a cool story. It really changed his life.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Wow. Neat. So then how did that all shift to Copper Harbor?
So they lived in Ameek, and they started the Keweenaw Agate Shop out of their home in Ameek.
Oh.
And part of the reason they did the agate shop, and he could do lapidary work from a sitting position.
Oh,
right?
Lovely, yes.
So again, because he had this disability from the mining accident, that's how they started the agate shop.
Mm.
So he sadly passed away when my mom was just young.
Oh, okay.
And then my grandmother remarried and kept the agate shop going. And in the 1956, they bought the agate shop. And it wasn't, I should say, they bought this building.
This one in Copper Harbor.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
And made it the Keweenaw Agate Shop. So.
Okay. Wow. And so then when did you first come here then?
So we have a picture. So my grandparents owned it until 1973, I believe.
Okay.
So we have a picture of my brother in 1971, I believe, that you can see downstairs. Like he's in the building, in the agate shop, eating blueberry pie, my grandmother's Aww. Famous blueberry pie. And we were here. So from the time I was an infant, we came up here to visit my grandparents.
Okay.
They sold the shop. Unfortunately, I was only three. But we still came up every year. They lived in Amik, and we would still come up and hunt agates and go blueberry picking. And
wow, yeah. And so then how did you end up owning this building?
Yeah. So that I... In 2016, I decided it was time for a career change, a life Sure. change. Just it was time for something different. And so I took a couple years off of work. I mean, I did some contract work, but I wasn't working a lot. And thought about buying a business, Mm. doing something different. And my father said, my mom and dad met at Michigan Tech.
Okay.
So they both, you know, my mom was from the area, but my dad fell in love with the area. And he came up every year. And he said to me, well, you should buy the Keweenaw Agate Shop. It's been closed for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I could live in Copper Harbor.
Yeah.
And so I came up and started looking around. And, you know, I hadn't been here in a few years. It had probably been 5 years since I had been able to visit. Okay. So,
But yeah. I find it so fascinating that you own the same building that your grandparents owned, but it wasn't in the family all that time. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. You're right. Sorry, I missed a part. They sold it in 73.
Okay.
Yeah, they sold it to Doc Berry.
Okay.
He was a professor at Michigan Tech, chemistry professor. And most of my customers that come in that remember coming as a child remember Doc Berry.
I bet.
He was a character.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yes, there's a lot of, especially Alumni Week for Michigan Tech.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lot of customers that will come in and say, isn't this Doc Berry's old place?
Wow.
So,
cool.
He owned it until the mid 80s. And then the Tolanens bought it.
Yes.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So Les Tolanen, they owned it for the longest period of time.
Mm.
And then, you know, life changes happened, and somewhere in the like 2006, somewhere around there, they just weren't able to keep it running.
Mm.
I think he, Les Sr., moved to Ohio. So life changes, right?
Yeah.
So it had been closed for, I bought it in 2018.
Oh, okay.
So about 10 years, 12
yeah.
years.
I feel like it was closed for a majority of the time that I lived mm-hmm. in Copper Harbor, and it was like this mystery building to me, and then... To have it come back to life is so cool, and I just love what you've done with it down there. There's just so much going on. I just like to come look sometimes.
I have so much fun.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. So what is it like running that shop when you love rocks so much anyway?
So, you know, it's nice in the winter time when things are slower. This time of year right now is a great time to go out looking for rocks. We don't have snow yet.
Yeah.
Right. So this is the time I like to go out there. You just got to dress right and you can go looking for whether it's copper, epidote, agates, whatever it is that you like, just pretty rocks. It's the quieter time in the winter. Then when you open up in May and you start getting those customers that are into rocks, It just all of a sudden re-excites me.
Mm.
I go, oh, that's right. I love doing this. I love talking to people about rocks. So I think as much as it is enjoying rock hunting myself, the excitement from somebody when they find their first agate and it's confirmed when they bring it in, it's like I found it, right?
Aww.
I mean, it's just so much fun.
That is cool. And I never thought about that perspective of this person who found this rock. Oh, where do we go to see if this is really an agate, you know? And they come to the agate shop. Well, why not? And then they see you and you say yes, and how exciting.
Oh, they are so excited. Yeah. And even if they didn't, knowing what they did find also, right, being able
helpful.
To identify what they did find is exciting as well.
Yeah. And maybe you probably give them tips like, oh, because it doesn't have this, or it's too big. know, or whatever.
If you found a lot of them, it's probably not an egg. Yeah.
They are small and they are scarce. Yes. That's your hints. Wow. And how about on the opposite end of the spectrum, that giant nugget out on your front yard right now?
The 906 nugget. That's exciting. Yeah. That's a 9,200 plus pound of float copper.
Wow.
Yeah. Glacial copper, right? Glacier art. So, yeah.
Yeah. And can you tell us the story of where that came from?
That was found in 2023. It's on loan here on display. Mm-hmm. I don't own it. I did not find it. I wish I did. But it was someone who goes out metal detecting, looking for float copper. And they found one of the top 10 pieces ever found.
Wow.
Yeah. It's such a pretty piece because it has shape to it, right? Mm-hmm. I think it looks like a clamshell or something, and it's got such pretty colors in it. There's purple in there.
Yeah. Wow. And I have a question. Copper doesn't float, so how can it be called float copper?
That's kind of a misnomer, right?
Nobody knows?
Float is the term that geologists give to things that were moved by the glaciers.
Oh, great.
So, yeah. So it was, you know, the glaciers came through and scraped the surface, and they picked up rock that had some copper in it. And as they moved, they rock got tumbled and turned, and it got knocked off the copper, and it smoothed the copper.
Yeah. Right?
So that's why it's smooth. It doesn't have jagged edges.
Yeah.
It has no rock on it because it got all tumbled. Imagine how strong that ice had to be to move 9,200 pounds.
And that wasn't the only chunk in that glacier, probably.
Right. Yeah, no. Wow. So what is it? 2 miles thick the ice was. So they pushed it and then they deposited it, right? As they were receding, it left that. So it moved it and then left it for someone to find years later, 10,000 years later.
And it is fascinating that all that turbulence of that, you know, slow movement really tumbled it just like that, like the most giant tumbler of all.
Right. Yes.
Maybe even more than Lake Superior, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Whoa. That is so cool. Thanks for telling us about that. What else do you want people to know about rocks? Anything else at all?
What else to know about rocks? Oh, you know, all of the beaches up here are so different. And that's one of the things customers will come in and say, like, I feel like every beach, you can see little changes in the rock. Mm. The geology up here, it's just absolutely amazing. And you don't actually have to even go to the beach to find cool stuff.
True.
There's the mine tailings piles, like the poor rock piles that people like to go to and find, like I say, copper. Sometimes they'll find copper with silver. Datolite. There's all kinds of great, well, and just in the UP in general, you've got your Kona dolomite and jaspelite. So there's just all kinds of fun stuff.
There is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we didn't tell our listener yet that we're sitting right here above the Keweenaw Agate Shop. So thanks for hosting tonight. So it's kind of cool. It's a little bit of flurries out there on our interviewing day, but I think we do have some snow in our forecast. So that's always interesting. But yeah, stop in and see Cheryl at the Keweenaw Agate Shop next time you're in.
You know what we didn't mention, though?
What?
Fluorescent sodalite hunting. Oh. I'm not sure how I could have not mentioned.
Talk about it.
Right. So have you gone out with a UV light?
I maybe have. It's not a passion of mine. Okay. I'm sleeping at night.
Yeah. Same. This is the time of year to go sodalite hunting for me, because like you, I don't like to stay up late.
Mm.
And so in July, when it doesn't get dark till 11 o'clock at night, it makes it hard to go out hunting. But it's been a favorite pastime of people that come up.
Yeah.
You have to have the right flashlight. It's a UV light. There's a 365 nanometer is what you need.
It's a great tip.
Yeah. To go out looking for these. And, some beaches are better than others. Of course, there'll probably be other people on the beach hunting along with you, but I think that's part of the fun too, right? You see all these people.
See all the purple lights moving around.
Yeah.
Because that's all you really see at night then is those purple lights kind of flashing around on the beach.
Yeah.
And then so when somebody sees one of these rocks in the ground, how do they know? I tell them what they see.
You're right. So lots of things are kind of fluorescent as you're looking on the beach. So like birch bark will show up, or frogs or spiders, like organic things will kind of light up. The sodalite is an orange, and it looks like it's an ember from a fire, and you just can't even miss it. It's so exciting to find one. They just stand out. But it's really, you need to go at night. If you try and look in the daytime, you could see one close up. You just wouldn't find it. Plus, it's not as exciting.
Sure.
Yeah. It's much more fun when everything else is dark and all of a sudden there's an orange glow.
Yeah. Oh, that is so cool. It is like your own little ember that you found. That is cool. Well, thank you for mentioning that. I don't think we've talked about that at all on any of our episodes. So that's really awesome. Shall we explore the clerk world next?
Sure, yes.
All right. So it's funny because I trained you for that position and you already knew more than I did. I mean, are you a numbers natural? Is that like a specialty of yours?
Yes. Yeah. I took my first accounting class in high school and I knew I wanted to be an accountant.
Wow.
So okay. I how lucky is that?
That's awesome. You know,
a lot of people don't necessarily know, but as soon as I took that, I was like, this is what I want to do, which I understand for a lot of people that they just can't even understand why I would like numbers, but I do. And thankfully, somebody has to.
Yes, somebody has to keep track of all the rest of us poor people.
So,
no kidding. Well, that's great. And that does really work out good that you can now help your community in that position.
Yes.
That is so cool.
It is. It's a perfect match. I really, I appreciate it. The other thing that when I left the work I was doing before, which was developing accounting software.
Wow.
So when I left that, one of the things I missed the most was working with a team. So I love the store and I love the customers that come in, and it's such an exciting feel. Getting to know everyone, right? You get to meet so many different people. But one of the things that I miss from the job I had before is teamwork, right? People working together, helping each other, right? Just you can accomplish more when you have a group of people. So I really kind of missed that aspect of things. And so we get that working at the township. It's nice.
Yeah, awesome. And one huge part of the clerk's office is running elections, and you made it through a big one. So what has that duty taught you about upholding each citizen's right to vote?
So I had a really good teacher.
Thanks.
And I feel like, Amanda, one of the first things that you said to me with the election was, right, we want people to be able to vote, right? So and that is one of the things is, if you have somebody that's not registered, how do we get them registered? Mm-hmm. How do we make sure that they are included and they get to vote, whether it's here or they need to go to their former precinct or, you know, so I feel like it was nice to have a responsibility with the election that I kind of stayed away from the noise of the election, because we had something to do, right? We had to make sure that ballots got out, ballots were returned and processed correctly and when they were supposed to be. So yeah.
Awesome. Thanks so much for doing that. That's such a big undertaking with no shortage of stress.
It is, although one thing I will tell you, we had a number of new election inspectors. It was fantastic. Oh, that's right, because you voted in a different...
I was in a different precinct for the first time in 20 years. Oh, man. Okay. Well, good. I'm glad it was fun and then it's working out well.
Yeah.
It's so great. Any township, precinct, anything that can thrive and feel really good about the job that they're doing is just a, really a gift, because not every place has that going on.
Yeah.
So that's really great that it's good going good up here. Is there any interesting projects the township is working on?
Yes. Right now, we're a few weeks away from transitioning to another software that's going to allow us to take payments online for utilities and for taxes. So that's happening. We should be able to December, early January. But Meg, the supervisor, has been sharing that at our township meetings, and we know local taxpayers are really interested in being able to pay their water bill online, as well as property taxes. Oh, so
that's so great. I look in my checkbook and I'm like, I think the only thing I write a check for is the water bill.
Yes.
Month after month. I'm like, I wonder if they're ever going to do anything about this. So that's awesome.
Online and in person with a credit card. Oh, both will be available. So
that's very cool.
Yeah, that is exciting.
On the new technology. Yes. I hope there's not bugs in it. You know, that always happens when you start something newly technological.
Yes.
I feel like, but you'll get through. You have a good team to assist with that.
Yes.
So that's great. Oh, wow. Awesome. I look forward to paying with a debit card one of these days. Oh, fun. And what does it mean to you to be a part of the community government here?
You know, the first few years I was here, I didn't get to meet as many people, mainly because I was pretty exhausted at the end of the day, right? You're pretty busy during the summer. And then I didn't stay the first couple of winters. I was afraid. Mm. I was afraid of a harbor winter. And so I left. Since staying, it meant I could get more involved in my community. And to me, a big part of it is I get to meet so many more people in my community that I wouldn't otherwise. So it really makes you feel more a part of the community as opposed to, just kind of isolated.
Yeah.
So to me, it's been huge. And being able to use maybe your talents, right? The accounting, the numbers, it is something that I'm good at. So it's a great way to contribute.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. That's so great to hear. Thank you for doing that. It's just right up your alley, like you said. Do you want to talk at all about the accounting class you teach? Because I didn't even know that about you.
Yes. So that was one of the first things I did after I left the accounting software development.
Oh, okay.
I started teaching in person at a university, Cleary University in Howell, Michigan. So much fun. So most of the students, not all, because there are students that go back, but most of them were, 18, 19, right out of college, and I'm teaching the entry-level accounting courses. Mm. So they were the same age as my daughter at that time. They're fun.
You could relate.
I could totally relate. Yeah. And, she was off going to college, and so it was nice. I had all these students, and I really enjoyed doing it in person. But I was really torn because I also wanted to be here.
Mm.
And so when COVID hit, there was a need for more online. And so there's still a disconnect. It would be better if I could see them in person. But who knows? Maybe I'll look into teaching accounting at one of the universities up here or community colleges. I like accounting. I love teaching accounting, and especially when people get it, that aha moment, right?
Awesome. Yes. Wow. That's really cool. Well, what else don't I know about you that everyone should know?
I'm pretty much an open book. You probably know it all.
Oh, jeez. Right. That's fair.
Well, I guess my youngest brother, David, and I collected a bunch of writing that our grandfather, my mom's dad, Hank Loma, put together, different stories he would tell our mom at bedtime when she was, 4, 5, 6, poems that he wrote in the 40s about wartime, a a story of how to find your Keweenaw agate. And we put this collection together in a book for my mom for her 80th birthday. Lovely. She was 82 when we finally got it done.
Sure.
But so yes, we have a collection of his stories and poems and
in a book. Are those book? Is that like only
it's,
one book, or is
it's,
there?
Well,
more?
It's available on Amazon, I also have it in the store as well. So
that's awesome. Yeah. So people can hear about your grandpa who lived on Isle Royale with the ham radio, bedridden.
Yes.
Right. Woman, and oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating. I hope this podcast helps you sell some more.
Thank
of those
you.
Books.
Yeah.
That sounds fascinating. Wow.
So that was a fun project. That was our another thing we started during COVID, right? When everyone was trying to find a way to stay sane.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Busy, sane, yep, all those things. Wow. And I know you and I have talked about being single moms before, because you mostly raised your daughter. And like you said, now she's in her 20s. So what has that experience taught you about life?
Oh, I learned so much, right?
Yes.
You too, right? You learned
yes.
so much. Being a parent, she's just taught me so much.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm floored at her capabilities. Mm. And at such a young age to be able to articulate what she's thinking and feeling and kind of holding me sometimes to account. Right?
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Which is good. We need that, right?
Yes.
We need people to hold us accountable. Uh-huh. So, yeah. So,
wow.
And now she's just such a good friend.
Yay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so, wow. What a, to be able to say that about your own child, I think is really, you feel like you won, kind of.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, where they're awesome as their own person, but they still like you.
Yeah, that is a good thing, right?
I think that's awesome. Well, congratulations.
Or they forgive you your
that.
Flaws, right?
What, yes. It's,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
I did get to go to Montana recently. She was out in Montana, and I went out there to help her bring stuff back. And we stopped on the Yellowstone River. We got to do a little rock hounding, and we went and found Montana moss agates.
Oh, that sounds
lovely. We have a 5-gallon bucket full
Whoa.
Of agates, and they're much bigger than ours. And petrified wood.
Cool.
So yeah, we had a fun time. We brought them back, and we were cleaning them and looking through them and discussing who really found which one.
Oh, wow.
So
naturally, she likes to look for those things too.
Oh, yeah.
So you get to do that together.
We do, yeah.
Oh, that's also awesome. Very cool. Well, what else do you like to do for fun?
This time of year, I like to read. As you can see, I've got a few books around. I'm trying to get caught up on my reading for fun and just learning new things, right? Just always try to... I've got a cab machine downstairs that I'm hoping to get set up so I can start doing some polishing.
Oh,
so,
wow. Cool.
Yeah. So who knows? Next year, maybe we'll have the ability to cut and polish some rocks that customers bring in.
Ooh.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Wow. Custom jewelry from the rock you found on Copper Harbor.
Right?
That sounds
that would
amazing.
Be, yeah.
I don't think anyone's doing that up here.
Not otherwise. Currently. I'm
yeah.
sure in the past.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm pretty sure Hank Loama did it.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That would be super awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we'll keep you posted, dear listener, if that comes to fruition. That's awesome. So everybody's favorite question, do you have any wise words for us?
So these aren't my words.
Mm-hmm.
This is something my father used to say, you know, and whenever we would say goodbye, and he had his standard way, but he would say, remember to have fun.
Aww.
Right? Isn't that, I think that's really important. We can get
yes.
busy, forget. Let's remember to have some fun.
Oh. I love that. My kid reminds me of that too sometimes.
Yeah.
When I get too serious, he doesn't look at me and say, "Mom, remember to have fun," but he just is playing a game with his imagination. So I'm like, "Okay. It's not that serious.
That's
Let's
right.
make this fun, you know?
Let's
and then
make
we can move
fun.
Forward." Sometimes fun just helps us move forward mm-hmm. and gets us out of being stuck.
Yes. Wow. Yeah, I agree.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Cheryl.
Thank you, Amanda. This has been fun.
Oh, awesome. And thank you, dear listener. We do have a sale going on all Macro Nature prints. So if you want to support this podcast, buy some unique gifts, and save some money all at the same time, head over to CopperHarborVitality.com. All print bundles ship for free. Until next time, use your talents for good. Take a deep breath and be good to yourself. Bum bum da 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 da.